Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before I got here, I was like, I don't want a meal. I want to be hungry like a stray dog.
There he is, Joe Jitsu, Joseph Benavidez. Your Bovich has done it. He's the undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion.
This is nothing new for me, you know. I've got 57 years old, love to fight, so it's just fun, you know.
UFC light heavyweight champion, Jan Błachowicz.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I, Matt's taking a swig of his beverage. And I'm making sure there's no chocolate stuck in my fat teeth.
Yes.
We have a good show today. Gary Owen, comedian Gary Owen, who's a big UFC fan. He was on BET for many years. A lot of people know Gary. He'll join us. We also have light heavyweight champion Jan Błachowicz will be on defending against Israel Adesanya as Izzy moves up. And, of course, we have Joseph Benavidez also fighting on March the 6th. That is this coming Saturday night.
Hey, man.
March 1st already. Wow.
Shit, dude.
Crazy.
What is it? Three title fights?
Three title fights. It's Błachowicz,
wow.
Adesanya. The co-main is Megan Anderson against Amanda Nunes. And, of course, Aljamain Sterling against Piotr Jan.
Wow.
For the bantamweight title is the third before that.
Yeah.
All really good fights. I mean, I think that Sterling can definitely beat Jan could definitely be like, I think Amanda and Megan have the biggest difference. Amanda's favorite over Megan, I think the highest. That's my guess.
The thing is, standing up, you know, Megan's definitely a problem. I don't know how her ground game is, but, you know, I feel that Amanda is going to have levels above her on the floor.
Yeah.
If they made it a straight up kickboxing match, you know, that's different, you know, striking match because, you know, Megan's, you know, a bit of a powerhouse. You know what I mean? She's big. She's strong. She's got a really good striking.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is good. I mean, but I think Amanda might be able to just beat her up there too. And I'm not I like Megan.
Sure. Me too.
But I think Amanda is just on such a high level, man. Ooh.
I wouldn't know who to take if Amanda was fighting Ngannou. I'd have to think about it. That's how good Amanda Nunes is.
That's
looked.
The thing. After you seen what she did to Cyborg.
Crazy.
And
yeah.
Every Holly Holm and everybody else. It's like, yo,
yeah.
Come on, man. This girl's the truth.
Yeah. She's a killer. Know? And she went up in weight and won against a real striker. I mean, you know, Cyborg, you know, punch a hole through a wall. And Amanda made very fast work of her. So again, one of the most exciting wins I've ever seen was that Cyborg knockout.
Amen. She's always exciting, though.
Great.
She's always exciting. I can't wait to watch her. I'm looking forward to all the fights, man.
You know? I am too. I am too, buddy.
You don't have the card on us right now. That's for that. We'll do that on Wednesday.
Yes, we can. I don't have it. Let's talk basically about the basically before our first guest. Let's talk about the Gon Rosenstrike again.
Oh, barn burner. No, not exactly.
Well, it was a barn burner, but it was just he kept striking the match and just holding it against the barn, and it would mark the barn.
Man, dude, I don't think Dana liked that thing either.
He couldn't have. It was not a good fight. It was a terrible fight, actually, as far as, but I give, and I really like Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Gone, I almost gave a little bit of a pass to, in the sense that he's newer in the UFC, and I think it was his first main event, his first five-round fight. So maybe he's like working with his gas tank a little bit and making sure that he can go from 3 to 5 rounds. But that was a really not a good fight at all. I understood they were both being careful.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they both fight. I'm going to still watch. I really.
Of course.
But I want to get out of Negativeville, and I want to talk about a great fight. Okay. Your sensei, Jimmy Rivera, Pedro Munhoz, that was a great fight. Oh,
fantastic.
Man. Hey, props on both guys. Great fight. Jimmy was getting those calves kicks, and you know how much it was hurting him, but man, is he a beast. He's just a beast to take that and keep coming, still being dangerous. And afterwards, there was the great show of respect. They're both great guys. I know personally, I cornered Aljo versus both of those guys.
Really?
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I studied them a lot and seen them up top close, but, hey man, those guys are two of my favorites to watch. I love watching those guys. So, I mean, and that's their second fight. Now they're 1-1. So who knows if they'll go again in the future, you know?
I would love to see them do a third one. And the thing was that Rivera is so tough because those calf kicks, like when you get dropped by a calf kick, like, you know that it's bad. When a fighter goes down from a leg kick, you know it's a really severe leg kick. And he still just kept jumping up, trying to switch stances. And there was one point where he was shaking his leg or whatever. And they're like, again, when you can't hide it, like, you know it really hurts.
No, it sucks.
Kept coming forward, though. He just kept coming forward. And a great fucking fight. Great fight.
It got fight of the night and deservingly so. Bruce Leroy. Oh, by the way, we should do a movie minute soon. Because speaking of Bruce Leroy, you know what? Me and my and he did great, by the way, Bruce Leroy. And I like Kevin Kroom. And James Krause is working with him. And, and you know, it didn't work out. Like, I don't know if it was him rushing the game plan or not setting up his stuff, but, you know, there's room for improvement. But, you know, I think he's going to bounce back. But I'm happy for Bruce Leroy, Alex
Caceres,
because, you know, he had some ups and downs, and he's just always fun. And you know what's funny? He looks like Bruce Leroy from the movie a little bit. You never saw the movie.
Didn't know.
Shame.
I know. Well, you can shame me for a lot of reasons.
I want
to. This is one reason to shame me.
Well, I want to ask Gary Owen if he's seen the movie. This is my first question for our guest, the comedian Gary Owen. I want to ask him if he's seen the movie, The Last Dragon. Okay?
Okay.
Let's welcome him in.
Hey, Gary, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, buddy. We can hear you pretty well, actually. How you doing?
What's up?
Gary, weird question to start this thing off, but you're a martial arts fan, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever see the movie from the 80s called The Last Dragon?
Yeah, Show Enough,
the Shogun of Harlem, Jimmy. He knows, Gary knows.
I don't know if I saw it. I don't think I saw it. Who were we talking to last week about this? And I don't think I saw it.
Jimmy, it was another comedian. It was Ronnie Chang.
Oh, Ronnie Chang. Yeah. I don't think I saw it.
You better direct your pizza to Daddy Green's Pizza. I'm telling you, this movie has it all. You've seen it, Gary.
You've never seen The Last Dragon?
Look at him.
Dude, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I like Gary already.
The big glow at the end.
When you got that glow. And who's I like the music in it. My kids liked it. I watched it with my family over the weekend. And I'll tell you, such a fucking good movie for the 80s, you know?
And it's
you know what's funny about those 80s movies? It has full-fledged videos in it. It has like the bra. What's that? Janet Jackson's ex-husband. What's that guy?
The Barge.
Yes. Gary knows. They play The Rhythm of the Night.
Yeah, they play the whole video.
The whole video's in there. Fucking crazy, man.
That guy's aged really well too, the lead of that. Tiamat. He's been to the Comedy Store quite a few times in LA.
Oh, really?
Is he funny?
No, he just hangs out, but he aged well considering he's probably pushing 70 or 60 now, I'm sure.
Wow, he's got the fucking glow.
Yeah.
You look big, dude. Like your arms, when you put your arms up, you look fucking. Now, have you been were you always that big and I just never noticed it? Like, yeah, you look like you're jacked, like you're working out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess 6'2", about 220. I don't know.
How the fuck are you that big? And I didn't remember you that big. I'm glad I never had a problem with you. Well, you're a lot bigger than I remember. It's always better when a guy is bigger than you thought and you never had a problem with him than a guy who you have a big problem with. You're like, oh, fuck, he's 6'2", 200. I'm finished.
I'm trying to get that the carrot top post 40 career.
Do you train at all? I started training last year with doing some kickboxing and then COVID hit. Have you ever trained?
I've never UFC trained. I've done boxing, but I've never never UFC trained. My problem, I'm very unflexible. I'd be scared I'd pull something. My hamstrings are awful.
Where are you from, Gary?
Cincinnati, Ohio. So who's from there? Rich Franklin is from Cincinnati.
Isn't he living in Asia now? Is he over in Asia?
Is he? I don't know. I think that's our biggest UFC fighter to come out of that area.
Rich Franklin, him and Marge Schott, the two biggest out of Cincinnati. I don't know if he's from there. That's never been a good market for me. I think talked to somebody about this recently. We're like, you know how you tour and you have certain markets where you're great and other more. Ohio is so fucking weird, man. Like in Toledo and Cleveland is great. Columbus is great. No, Toledo's bad and Cincinnati's bad. Woof.
Cincinnati is tough. Really? Yeah, I like that with the Northeast. I just, for some reason, I'd be like, that is not my market for whatever reason. Oh,
why is that?
Yeah.
Providence and any of those cities in Massachusetts. I don't know. For whatever reason, I mean, nothing. The people that do come are great, but it's like, I wouldn't be like, make sure you get me in the Northeast when COVID's over. Put it that way.
Yeah. It's very funny how some places work for you. That's actually my best is the Northeast. Anywhere else, I'm below average. The Northeast, I'm strong. Anywhere else, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Man, I love meeting comedians. I always like to know how you got into it. Like, were you a goof? Some guys, they weren't even, I heard they're not even funny in high school. And then after high school, people were, like, surprised they became a comedian. Is that your case or no?
No, I always knew. That was the plan from jump. I was like class clown, most obnoxious. I actually ran away. My junior high school, I ran away. And my buddy, we get in his car. He takes me on the Greyhound station downtown Cincinnati. And this is how I had it planned out. I had a thermos and I went to Kroger and got the Goober grape. So it's the peanut butter and the jelly in one jar and a loaf of bread. And I go, dude, I'll go to LA. I'll make it. I'm funny, dude. I'll make it. And then we got down to the Greyhound station and we had like $14, $13 between us. And I was like, oh, wow, I can get to Louisville. I didn't know how much a bus ticket was. So they had to take me back home. I was like, damn, we got to rethink this. But that was always what I wanted to do as a comedian.
When did you actually start?
I was 19, first time, and I was a rough night at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. Because I joined the Navy after high school because I thought David Lee Roth had the video California Girls. So I thought the entire state was LA. I didn't know there was a Fresno and a Bakersfield. I just thought California's LA. And I thought Navy had the biggest bases in California. So I said, if I can join the Navy, I can get to California and I can start doing stand-up. So that was the goal. So I joined the Navy. The first 2 years I was in Washington, D.C. in the Honor Guard. So we were spinning the rifles and doing the funerals and stuff like that. And then first chance I got stationed in California, I took it in San Diego. My first night I got in the phone book. It's actually a funny story. I got in the phone book and I called this place called the Comic Castle. And I said, hey, do you guys got open mic? And the guy goes, let me check. And I said, let me check. And then he came back. He's like, can't find them. I go, what? I called a comic book store. He was looking for a superhero named Open Mike.
Oh, that's guy, so cool.
The guy called me back. The guy got on the phone with me and he goes, let me see if I can look something up. And he gave me the number to the Comedy Store in La Jolla. And so that Sunday nights was open mic. So I went to that open mic night and didn't go that great, but at least I got on stage and then it kind of took off from there.
Isn't it good to get the first bomb out of the way? Like, cause I'm always fascinated. These guys that go up and they fucking kill for the first 6 months. And I'm like, how do you deal with your first bomb? You get the first bomb out in the first few days and it kind of like, all right, well, this is as bad as it's going to get. Now I can kind of move forward.
Yeah. That mine wasn't like a bomb. It was like 10 people in the audience, but all the comics was in the back and they weren't heckling, but they were doing the whole ha at the setup and they know you're struggling and you can't make a right or left. You got these 5 minutes you've been working on in the mirror that you know is going to work. And then it's not working. And so I had a beer in my hand. I was 19. And I said, hey, all you comics in the back, go ahead and keep heckling. I'm 19. I've been drinking in this club all night. Why don't I call the cops and shut this motherfucker down?
That's funny. That's funny.
When I say they lifted me like this and then threw me out, I did a front roll in front of the Comedy Store and I'm dusting myself off. And I don't know if you remember, remember the old manager of the Comedy Store in La Jolla? He had the legs was wrong with him.
I don't know if I ever did that room. I've done the store on Sunset. I don't know if I ever did that room in La Jolla. Oh,
he won $100,000 on America's Funniest People one year, but he was the manager. And I just remember him coming out on his crutches and going, never come back. And I looked up and dust myself off and I go, okay, I can talk shit. I don't know if my jokes work, but I can talk shit. So that was my first time on stage.
And when did you go back there?
It took me a while to get back on stage. And then about a year later, I went back and apologized and just told him what happened. And, you know, you just swallow your pride. I'm sorry, but I really like to be a stand up. And then he said, all right, come back to open mic. And he watched me. And then I was able to be good after that.
Oh, good.
How long have you been a mixed martial arts UFC fan?
It's funny. I started watching, I was shooting a movie in Vancouver called Little Man with the Wayans brothers. And there wasn't a lot of cable channels, but for some reason, Canada every night had this 30-minute boxing show on their ESPN. It was like hockey and boxing. And then they started showing The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. And that was the year of Josh Koscheck was on it. He had the blonde hair.
Yeah, versus GS. Oh, that might have been either the first season or he was on the first season. He also came back as a coach versus GS.
No, this was the first season then. Oh, so that was 2004 or five.
Yeah.
And that's right.
That's when I really started watching because I'd come home and it'd be on. Wow. So I got to know the fighters. So that's when I really started getting involved and you know, watching it and stuff.
That show was really like the fucking Trojan horse that got into everybody's living rooms and people got to know the fighters. And then they're like, oh, they're not just barbarians street fighting. They, you know, the disciplines, their stories, and kind of like what the Contender series is doing now. You get invested in the fighters a little bit.
What I liked about the Ultimate Fighter was there was no sugarcoating. You kind of knew who was going to be the wild card, who was going to be the drunk, who when he lost wasn't going to give a shit no more.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
who was the guy that he won one year and they immediately went to Vegas and like wild out and then Dana had to kick him off?
Yep. He came back years later. I know who you mean.
He came back from the Redemption.
Justin or something around that. I know you're a big wrestling meathead guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I know who you're talking about. He
kicked out the limo window. And I was like, when I was watching that season, I saw it coming. I go, I don't know if he's ready for this.
Jesse Taylor.
Jesse Taylor.
I just looked it up. Jesse Taylor, yeah. And then he came back in, I think a couple of years ago he came back, right? He was, he had been out for quite a while and he straightened up and came back.
Hey, man.
I'm excited about this weekend.
I can't. It's crazy. Every weekend now, no one has done a better job, I think, than the UFC of getting it up and running. And I think I don't even miss the fans. Like, it's great when they're there, but I like hearing, like, the coaches yell stuff from the corners. I like hearing the fighting, like, it's crazy how they've had more fights now than they've ever had before.
And even when you're in a bar of Buffalo Wild Wings, you can't really hear the fans anyway.
Right.
If you're a bar like that. So
yeah, it's visual. They're out there. You see them. And I guess the fighters like it, but I kind of like, I'm so used to it now. Like I don't even realize like, oh yeah, this is different than it used to be.
So I always root for the guys that I think would come see me perform. Like, who do I think has watched my act? So like this weekend, I'm like, okay, I know Stylebender see me, so I'm rooting for him. I think Amanda Nunez has a good, I think she'd laugh if she set the show.
He's got a good sense of humor.
And Sterling for sure, because I know Yan has no idea who I am.
He's not watching your special in Siberia?
Yeah, nah. That's how I root for people. I go, I think that guy would come see me. Or I think he's probably watched me on YouTube or something.
Yeah. Do they recognize me? If they recognize me and were they nice to me? Yeah. Sometimes you don't know who do I like? Like, I don't know. They're all nice guys. They're all nice people. So you might as well root for someone that likes you too.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, Blachowicz against Adesanya. I don't think it's going to be an easy fight for Adesanya at all. Blachowicz for some reason is very underrated, even though he's the light heavyweight champion. I guess maybe because he's following John Jones too. But I think he's very underrated how dangerous he is.
I think for me, I'm not going to go against Stylebender until somebody does it.
Yeah.
But he seems like he knows what he's going to do before he goes in there. And it's almost I don't want to compare to Mayweather in boxing, but it seems like as the fight's going on, he just kind of figures it out. Like, oh, that's what he feels like when he hits me. And he kind of just, to me, he's like, I don't know, he's just three steps ahead of everybody when he's in the ring. Like, oh, okay.
He's more fun to watch than Mayweather. So I'm sorry, Matt. He's more fun, like, because even knocking out Brunson or Whitaker or Paulo Costa, like, he's just a more fun guy to watch with Mayweather because it's not all defense. Like, I never enjoyed watching Mayweather because his defense was so good. I don't like him. Like, I like watching Adesanya a lot more. He's more aggressive.
Yeah. I was more like comparing him, like, it seemed like with Mayweather, he'd come in the ring and all his fights, the first two or three rounds, you feel like the guy had a shot.
Yeah.
And then by round four or five, he kind of figures it out. You're like, oh, God, this guy is just, he feels your power. Okay, get your speed down. It seems like Adesanya's like that mentally. Like, oh, okay, now I know what he feels like and kind of figures it out.
He's got so much kickboxing experience. Yeah. He's so accurate. He's fast. He's got great footwork. But that legendary Polish power, I mean, I was just watching some of his best finishes. Not to mention, man, he's got some decent strangles. I mean, I seen him strangle somebody standing up against the cage with a rear naked. No hooks or nothing, just, I mean, I'm talking about not Stylebender, I'm talking about Jan. And also on the floor with a nice head and arm choke. I mean, he is, you know, I listen, it's going to be a fantastic fight. I do, even though we have Jan coming on, I am going with Stylebender because I feel that, you know, he's just going to be putting on a masterclass and I think he's going to outstrike him and hit him like 3-1. But it's that one that could put his lights out. So it's, hey, listen, that's why we watch, man. Edge of the seat stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I know. I can't wait.
I know. And it's going up in weight. It's always interesting to see when a guy goes up in weight, how do they respond? Like, you know, like for some guys, it works out better. Like the lack of a cut makes them more effective. And other guys seem to have a bit more of a hard time because they're fighting bigger guys. It'll be great to see Jones. He's fighting either Miocic or Ngannou.
I can't wait for that one.
I know. Again, he's another guy that I think Jones is one of the best ever, if not the best ever. But, you know, Ngannou is a problem. If he beats Miocic and Jones, that's his first heavyweight fight. That's a tough fight to go into for your first one.
That's the best part about the UFC. Because UFC, you get to see the fights you want to see. There's no different belts and promoters getting in the way. And
that's right.
That's what we want to see. That's going to bring in the most numbers, and that's who fights.
I've been saying that too. Like, you're right. Like, you, and I know you liked, you had said that Ngannou, you compared him to Tyson. And you remember Tyson Holyfield? We were waiting 6 years for that. And I know Tyson went to jail, but even before that, it was hard to get this because boxing just makes you wait. There's so much nonsense. But UFC, you mentioned a fight, and, you know, 80% of the time they make the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Mayweather and Pacquiao. I mean, look at that. That's who should have been on a while ago. So then when it finally got done, it's like, is that the best version of Pacquiao? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what they talk about.
Now, let me ask you this. I always thought about this when Ronda Rousey was fighting. So she loses to Holly Holmes, and then she comes back, and they put her against Amanda Nunes. And I had no clue Amanda Nunes was going to turn out like she did. So sometimes I wonder if they would have paired Ronda Rousey with somebody else, would she still be fighting?
Listen, she was a former champion. She only had that one loss to Holly when they put her up against Amanda, correct? And look, Amanda, yes, look what she's become. It's amazing. You can't even think. We forgot about her losing, but she did lose. She lost to Kat Zagano in a fight that she was destroying. She got a little gassed. Then she got out-grappled, actually, by Kat. You know what I mean? So, and that's a girl that, and listen, styles make fights. Ronda took out Kat in seconds, literally. Kat threw her and she boom, 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 armbar. So, you know, MMA math never adds up, but that might have been the school of thought there.
I don't think that it would have mattered to be just an opinion because I think Ronda handled that loss so badly. I don't think it would have mattered who she fought after. Like, she waited a year for that fight. She did no press. She never really talked about it that much. It really seemed to get to her. So I think that was more the problem than the losses. Because you look at again, a guy like Francis, who had a loss, but then he dropped two in a row, and now he's won four in a row. Like, fighters come back all the time after a little losing streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if she would have. I think it might have been in her, the losing might have done something to her mentally. I'm only judging that because she never fought again.
Yeah. I just remember watching that fight, and I was like, and then now every time I see Nunez fight, I go, God, I just always wondered that in the back of my head. Like, they had no idea she was end up being, arguably, Ronda's being talked about as the greatest female fighter, and now Nunez is being talked about as the greatest female fighter.
Yeah, I think it's not even close. It's definitely Amanda, because she not only beat Ronda, but she beat Holly. She beat, we just talked before about Cyborg. I mean, you know, she's beaten. I think she's by far the best, right, Matt? I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, she's up there, but I mean, Valentina has to be mentioned because she had two close fights with her. She had two close fights, and you know, now she's in even a different weight class. So you got to say something about Valentina. She's got to be in that conversation. Gary, let me ask you, speaking of fighting and perseverance and comebacks, you had your first gig, didn't go so well. When did you realize, how many times did you bomb before you were like, all right, I could make a living out of this for real? Or were you ever like, man, I might have to go back to, where were you, Illinois? No, I'm sorry.
No, I started in San Diego. I grew up in Cincinnati, but I started doing stand-up in San Diego.
Did you ever think that it wasn't going to work out at a certain point and say, you know what, it's been how many months, how many years, I got to go get a 9-to-5? Or no?
No. I good never, out.
Good for
I
you.
Always thought it was everybody else. I was like, oh, I got it. And the reason I started doing, I get this question a lot too. Like, I started doing quote unquote black comedy because I'm the white guy that does all the black stuff. Basically, when I go on the road, my crowd is 80% black.
Yeah.
Because when I started after that bomb in San Diego, I'm in the Navy. I go back to my ship. I'm talking, and all the black guys on my ship that I was talking to was telling me about all the quote unquote hood spots you can go to. Cause I was like, the comedy store is in San Diego. I was like, there's nowhere else I can go. They go, nah, you can go to like Smokey's on Wednesday, you know, Bill's Bar on Tuesday. There was all these black nights that I could go to that I think a lot of the white comics didn't want to venture into. So I was just trying to get on stage. So that's how I started doing all the quote unquote black nights. And the same thing happened when I started to get to LA. I couldn't get on the mainstream nights, but I started talking to a couple of the black comics, and there was all these black spots you could go to. So I started doing all the black spots, and that's how I got on BET, and it kind of took off. But I never really doubted myself. I just always knew, okay, and that's how I started doing, I don't want to say my brand of comedy, but that's how the, you know, that's how I got black people got exposed to me first. And so I always say, you don't choose your audience, they choose you. You can't say I'm performing for these people. People see your jokes and they come out to see you. So that's how it kind of took off. But I never, never doubted myself, ever.
They probably respected the fact that you were going to that comedy club. Like, all right, this guy's got balls at least, whether he's funny or not. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
But I think a lot of, when like Def Comedy Jam came out and Showtime at the Apollo, I think that might intimidate a lot of people towards black audiences because they saw people getting booed or they saw the crowd was rowdy. And what I've come to see is it's not like that. I mean, you do get some rowdy crowds, but most of the time it's not like that. Like I find black people, they have no skeletons in the closet. You know, that I don't think I've ever seen a black person get up because they were offended at my show.
Right.
It's never had that. They might get up because they get mad or they heckle or they're drunk, but I've never seen a black person get up because I offended them with something I said on stage.
Yeah, I've never had great success in black rooms. I've done some of those shows, but Patrice said to me one time, he said, black people should like you, but they look at you and think they shouldn't. That was very funny and probably pretty accurate. But yeah, whatever the audience that likes you, whatever crowd comes, hey, it's, you know, if you put asses in the seats, that really is all that matters.
That's all that matters.
You got stuff in the chamber for you when you get heckled. You got some go-tos. Yes. Both of you guys. Yeah.
You never know what's going to come out. I mean, but you got the microphone. Yeah. So you got that one hitter quitter. They shouldn't be able to take you when you got the microphone.
Have you lost it losing to a heckler? And it happens once in a while and usually earlier on, but I've told this story too. I was doing a gig in Wildwood, New Jersey, and I was being heckled by a guy and he was really funny and really smashing me. And I talked to him after. He's like, hey, sorry about that. And he was a dunk clown. that was what he did. Like, his job was to sit there and scream at people as they walk by, and then you try to knock him in the water. So he was fucking great at just yelling shit, and I had no skills, you know, back in 1992. Fucking mauled me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it happens.
He's still telling people at the family reunions.
Yeah, he probably is, yeah. Some guy, he wanted to probably know who I was, but he's some fucking jerk off. I smashed him. And what is your podcast too, guy? I know you get a podcast.
Yeah, that's it's called hashtag get some. It's just a hashtag I've been using forever on Instagram. So I just turned it into my podcast. But I wanted it to be a place where comedians could come a lot. So it's been cool because, you know, being on the road so much, even before COVID, you don't see a lot of comics because you're in one city, they're in the next.
Right.
So what I liked about it, it's got me a chance to catch up with a lot of people. And it's funny, I make the phone calls for people to be on the show. So I was like, man, this is going to really tell me what people feel about me if they don't come on. But luckily, everybody's come on that I called, and schedule permitting and stuff like that. So it's been cool. You know,
it's hard to book a podcast. It's the worst. I hate doing it. I'm like, I just, could you, you know, I know. It really
and you don't want to get your feelings if they say no.
Yeah.
Book a podcast. You're saying get somebody.
Oh, you to book your podcast. Like when you're trying to get somebody on your podcast, like you have to call them, and it's just like, I hate booking my own podcast. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. You got to call and say, hey, if you're not doing anything, we're not paying you. And if you want to fight LA traffic and come down to the studio and
yeah,
you know,
oh, you do it in person.
I'm sorry. Did you see the fights over the weekend, Gary?
No, I was working this weekend.
Shit. Oh, so you're back on the road and everything.
Yeah, I've been back for about 4 months. Solid.
Is it really weird? Or are you in clubs or how's it work?
No, I'm in clubs. I get rapid tested every week right when I get back home. I got a little Walgreens I go to just to make sure everybody feels safe. And then, it's been cool. It's half full. So it's not, I'm used to it now.
Are you guys going to get the vaccine or no?
Yes,
I am.
You are. Everybody is, right?
I'll knock an old lady out of the way to get it. I'll elbow an 80-year-old woman out and jump in and take it.
That's
immediately. Yeah. It got explained to me by a nurse. I can't re-explain it, but it did get explained to me how it works. And the way she explained it was so simple. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Now, oh, explain it to us.
I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah, I can't either.
The way she explained it was so quick. I went, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it.
Shit, man.
Yeah, I definitely will too.
Yeah, well, things are looking up. New normal, my ass. We got to get back.
The fights last weekend, what I did see online, it was boring though, right? The heavyweight fight.
Wasn't a bond burner.
Wasn't a great fight. No, it wasn't great.
Yeah,
it happens sometimes. The undercard was fun.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of good fights that night, but unfortunately, the main event was a little bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah.
You know,
two guys
learned from that. They
both had
that.
A little too much respect from each other, I think. A little, you know, again, you saw it with Ngannou Lewis. It reminded me of that fight, too, where both guys are just being very, very careful. But Rosen's
shy.
A couple of fights in a row like that, with the exception of JDS. You know, you look at five straight rounds against Overeem that were rough, five straight rounds against Gon that were rough. You know, and then Ngannou, of course. So he hasn't had like a great streak lately.
Speaking of Derek Lewis, how fun is he to watch?
Amazing.
Lord.
A cut from hell. Did you see that punch?
Yeah. Just crumbled. It wasn't even that violent when you saw it live, because he just kind of went down. The first punch, the second two was brutal.
Oh, he got frozen from the first shot. It's like, man, he found that sweet spot. And I thought it was very interesting. I said he wasn't doing any jabs or crosses, and he just wanted to do a knee or an uppercut. He was patient enough to wait for that. And it paid off, man.
That guy's got some power.
And he's so honest, too, because afterwards he goes, I just couldn't get my energy going. Like, you know, he knew he was a little sluggish, and he's just such an honest dude. He can't not say it. But you're right. That first shot, sometimes those short uppercuts, you don't realize how hard their throw. It was like watching Stipe when when Cormier knocked him out. Like that little short punch, it doesn't look as powerful as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah. You train Sterling, right?
Yeah, man. He's one of my black belts.
Yeah. You know? I know who you're rooting for this weekend.
Let's say, I'll be rooting for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%.
I'm excited for it, man.
Yeah, I believe he's going to become champion.
Yeah, I think so too. I think
I'm rooting for him because I think he would come see me.
Yeah. I'm sure he would.
Hope we talk to Piotr Jan and he's like, fuck you, Gary Owen. I love that guy. He wants to see you fucking get choked out and lose the belt.
Get some gigs booked in Siberia after that.
Hey, listen, man, we have to move on. We're gonna be getting we got Jan Blachowicz and Joseph Benavidez both coming on. But come back and talk to us again, man. I love comedians who are MMA fans. It's always good to have a fellow comic MMA fan on the show.
Nice to meet you, man. Gary. Thank you guys, Gary, for having me.
Where can people see you? Let's give your podcast a proper plug, too.
Plug some shit.
The podcast is called Hashtag Get Some. So you can go to YouTube and just search my name. And usually all the episodes just come up. And then every link is on GaryOwen.com. If you go to the website, all the links are on there to everything.
Wait, on Instagram, what's your Instagram?
At Gary Owen Comedy.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
All right. Great, man. Come back and talk some more fights with us and stuff, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Gary. Good talking to you, man. Take care.
You did it. Bye.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Joseph, can you hear us?
Yes. Are we doing video?
Yes, buddy, we are. We can see you.
You look good.
You look good.
Thank you.
Joseph, you guys look good. Your style, man. I said this last time. You've got style.
Thanks, brother. So do you. I believe in every style is a style. It's your own style. And that's the most style you can have.
It's like that Bruce Lee shit. The no way is the way. I'm with you.
Exactly, bro. Yeah, hey. Everyone. Shit, Joseph. You can't teach your own style. So only you got it.
Yes, you can only
That's the attitude of a person who really has style. Like, hey, I'm just doing my thing. Like me, I'm putting on so much weight, I have to wear a fucking muumuu at this point. I have no style whatsoever. I had a girlfriend tell me I had a bad face for hats. I had a hat on and she's like, your face looks terrible in hats.
I might agree. She's
an ex-girlfriend now then, right?
I know. Yeah, that's right. A great point.
She better be after that crap. Come
for
on.
That reason.
She was right, though.
You in a top hat, Jimmy. You look cute. Little top hat. You look like a little peanut guy. But listen, Joseph, we put on that same cap that Joseph has on. We're not pulling it off.
No.
We're not pulling it off. Anyway, I got to ask you something, buddy. I've seen a movie that I probably wouldn't normally watch. And it's lovely. Called The Lighthouse. You recommended it.
Oh, did I?
Oh, fuck.
I
don't
remember. No, I did say I watched it. I said I watched it. I might have, but I think we did talk about it. And I said, I watched it. It's interesting, but like, I wouldn't. You tell me. It's a different movie. It's like this new kind of psychological artsy horror. But it's a little too artsy to be scary. And then it's a little too, it's a beautifully done movie and it's well acted, but
trippy.
Yeah, it's very trippy. There's a lot of metaphors and shit in it, but that director is like a new art house horror guy. His name's Robert Eggers. Yeah. So, you know, horror movies are trying to get the respect of like real movies, and those movies and another guy, Ari Aster, that does them, are making some really good, like, horror, but not gore. You know what I mean?
Like Alfred Hitchcock type shit, no?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I thought the acting was incredible, but you also needed subtitles because you couldn't understand the damn people in their weird sea accent.
Man, I watched it on the way to Abu Dhabi, and it kept me interested. You know what I mean? I don't know if I was in a theater. I might have walked out if it was a theater, but
yeah, it's a strange movie for sure. It got a lot of hype that year, but I mean, it wasn't in my top 10 or something. I thought it was a little overhyped. I liked that it was unique, but you know, didn't do it for me as a watch.
Odd question. It's Jimmy's question. Did you ever see the movie The Last Dragon from the 80s?
Bruce Lee?
Bruce Leroy.
Bruce Leroy. I actually haven't seen that. No.
Okay. Put it on your list.
Damn. I haven't seen the classics. I know. I got a whole notes on my phone that's just full of movies to watch. So I'm adding that in. I'll put Matt Serra, Jim Norton by it.
If you like horror movies, A1, that studio A1 does some really interesting ones. Did you see, and this movie scared the shit out of me, Hereditary. I think it's called, there you go. That's what? Exactly the movie I was going to say. I almost said The Heretic by mistake. That's Exorcist 2. Hereditary with Toni Collette scared the fuck out of me.
What's the premise?
So it's like about a family curse or something?
It's a brother, two parents, and like there's a death, and the death sparks the mother to talk to somebody, and that kind of sparks some witchcraft rituals because the mother's mother had died. Yeah, it's a family thing that is sparked by a couple of deaths. Really, it's terrifying. Terrifying. Yeah.
That's the other guy I was talking about, Ari Aster. He does the movies Hereditary and
he directed it. Okay.
Yeah, and Midsommar is another one. He made a horror movie that takes place in daylight, so it's kind of weird. They go to Sweden and do a bunch of drugs. It's kind of like a culty movie. It was different too, but he did those two. Yeah, so that's funny. Those were the movies we were kind of talking about.
You know, it's funny. I know he did Midsommar, and I saw that. I didn't love it, but you just pointed out something to me. You're right. That was a horror movie in daylight. Was that kind of what he meant to do? Because you're right. I didn't even catch that it was all in daylight. You're right.
Yeah, it was just kind of, I remember him saying, like, I've never seen a horror movie or something that was supposed to be scary that, you know, is vibrant and takes place in, like, a nice white lit place. And it's kind of weird because I guess in Sweden, they don't go through nighttime in some of the seasons. So I think that was the premise of, like, it was, you know, midnight, but it was, like, you know, bright. And they were also in this weird cult thing and, it was a trippy movie. It looked beautiful, though, honestly.
It was well shot, yeah. It was a weird movie, but Hereditary mortified me. Like, I went and watched a scene. Have you seen it?
You know what? I haven't, because I'm actually just dipping my toes into, like, the horror genre. So that's why I'm starting kind of with the artsier types. But I haven't manned up to watch Hereditary yet.
Yeah.
Because I need somebody to be with me, and Megan's not into the horror. So I'm like, I need, like, a person to be there.
Don't tell her it's a horror movie. Tell her it's a comedy. Tell her it's a rom-com.
She knows it's frightening. She'll turn off the TV.
Oh, she will.
Now, are you and Megan watching any kind of series that I should know about? You know, because me and my wife, you're always looking for something new.
Shit.
Anything new on Netflix or whatnot?
What the hell were we watching? You know what we're watching that's really good? It's actually a docu-series. A traveling series. It's a Stanley Tucci searching for Italy.
Wow.
Beautiful show. It's on CNN, and Stanley Tucci just goes through the 20 regions of Italy and discovers all their different, you know, every cuisine through all the regions are different. And it's really nice. For me, I love the show, but I also think right now when we can't travel and I'm hungry from cutting weight, I love watching food stuff. So he goes and, you know, he discovers all the food there and how it came about in every region. So I love watching food shows when I'm cutting weight. Then also, like, I've had this crazy, like, wanderlust for travel since we can't. So it kind of does, you know, it kind of gets all my things in there. Another one I think you'd like that's funny, and I hate watching comedy series a lot of the times, is What We Do in the Shadows. That was a funny one.
Never heard of it.
That's like a vampire parody. And it's incredibly ridiculous.
Where is it from? Where what stream?
It's on Hulu. Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Hulu FX, yeah. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's not one that, like, you binge and, like, keeps you dramatic, but it's just fun to watch.
Yeah. You know what's disgusting and disturbing is what Jimmy does in the shadows. You don't want to watch that.
No, I do that in the sunlight. In the shadows, I hug and kiss. When I'm in the sunlight, I do the gross shit. I want everybody to see it.
Nice.
Hey, I want to hear about your new podcast you do with your wife, Megan O'Leary.
Dude.
At home with Ben O'Leary?
Ben O'Leary. That's a moniker, you know, for the both of us.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
You know, since we're both kind of known, we're definitely equals. And I thought about, for like, Megan hasn't changed her last name. I didn't ask her to. She's obviously, like, on TV. She's always going to use O'Leary as a known TV name. But I'm like, you don't need to change your last name. Like, I don't care. Like, I married you, you know, whatever. And I'm like, what if we just change our last name to that? But anyway, it's been something people have said for a while. And, you know, like I said, we're equals. It kind of puts both of us in there. And the podcast, man, it's been fun. Like, you guys know, like, I realized something great in life is just talking to people about shit that you like. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about things you want to talk about right now. And if people happen to listen and care and talk back, it's like such a good feeling. So I go around half my life just talking to people about shit I like, but they don't care. And they're just like, okay, dude, like, I have kids. I have to work. Like, leave me alone. But when people like want to know about it, it's great. And I don't know if our listeners want to know, but they're there to listen. So we have them hostage, whatever. So like I said, we just talk about stuff we like. And it's honestly an at-home podcast through, you know, a little more intimate into our lives. But it's shit people talk about at home and with friends. Like, a lot of the feedback we've got, like, it's funny enough, like, a lot of our friends watch it. And I feel weird that, like, these are my best friends. Like, they could talk to me, but they're watching the podcast. And they say, it makes me feel like I'm at home with you guys in the kitchen or by the pool. And, like, we can't see you guys right now, but this is stuff we talk about. So we started up. We talk about what we're doing in the week. Every segment, we go through what we're watching. So we say, this is what we've been watching. We talk about whether it's the trashy reality shows Megan watches, the freaking foreign black and white silent Oscar-nominated movies I watch, all everything in between. We go about what we watch, you know, what we send each other in our DMs. We go through those because, like, that's also kind of like a modern love thing, is like memes and shit. So we go through, you know, restaurant recommendations, stuff to watch, what we're doing. We talk celebrity crushes. Like, obviously there's a fight every weekend, so we're going to talk about, you know, the main event, the stuff that happened, and look forward to stuff. And if Megan has any interesting short stories behind the scenes from work. But other than that, we just talk about modern couples stuff that they do at home, which a lot of couples are doing right now and a lot of people in general. So pretty much what we just did on this show, talk about what the hell we're watching. Like, sometimes I get done, I'm like, damn, that was an entertainment podcast, like, straight up.
How crazy is it too to have a wife who knows so much about fighting? Like, it's awesome if you talk about fights with her. She's in, like, an expert on the UFC, and, like, you don't have to like, you know, you both just talking kind of as equals as far as what you know about the UFC.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she has more insight because she shares the behind the scenes stuff. She obviously knows more about the fighters than me. And then, funny enough, she is the one always bringing up any other sport, you know. If, like, around the Super Bowl, she knew everything about the Super Bowl and the people competing and their stories behind it. We take listener questions. They're always asking her questions about the Yankees. And I'm just like, I'm over here talking about freaking Big Little Lies or some kind of, you know, show. So, yeah, it's great. She knows so much about sports. It's just stuff that we, like, talk about anyway. Right. So it makes it really easy to have her as a partner because we talk about this stuff in the kitchen. So we just record it.
Tell me about the celebrity crushes. Is that you guys? Do you guys have crushes on?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. You guys are very secure with yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, the best thing we're talking, like, the funny thing is, like, Megan was, like, we go into each other's DMs. And some of my first DMs I shared were ones that Megan sent me. That's what we, like, share on there. And she would send me videos of Megan Thee Stallion. Do you know who this is?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. She's a new artist. She's incredible rapper. Just real fucking great, like, next kind of Nicki Minaj, dirty. Like, a female that, like, owns sex and, like, you know what I mean? Is very empowered.
Yeah, I like that.
Megan she's incredible. Megan Thee Stallion, she says great shit. So some of our first DMs is Megan was sending me videos of Megan Thee Stallion twerking.
Could you send that to me?
I'm looking her up right now. She's very cute.
DM me, Joseph. DM me that stuff.
I will. She's a champion. So we were talking about stuff like that. And then I'm like, Megan Thee Stallion was actually one of my crushes. And then Megan's crushes, funny enough, it makes me comfortable because I feel like they're attainable crushes. Like her crushes were like Charlie from Always Sunny.
Okay.
You know, little Charlie from Always Sunny and John Leguizamo.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and,
sure.
And Rob, well, not this isn't attainable, but she said Robert Downey Jr., but only an Iron Man, so Tony Stark.
Okay, so it's Tony Stark.
All right. But I was like, you know what? Like Leguizamo and Charlie are like, those are doable. Like I can be that. You know what I mean? Like mine were like an actress, Saoirse Ronan, Taylor Swift, and Megan Thee Stallion. And then that's how we got to, hey, Megan Thee Stallion. Megan doesn't care if I crush on her. She's sending me pictures of her twerking. And then Megan's like, that's my damn crush. Like for sure. So yeah. So we talk about stuff like that. And it's fun. Kind of like who would you rather kind of things, you know, that's always a fun game.
Well, you one of the things that like, you don't seem like you're insecure about that stuff at all. And that's one of the things that makes a good looking woman like you is the fact that you're comfortable with yourself. That makes you, if you were easily threatened by that stuff, it wouldn't be fun to do.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta think, I mean, it comes with the territory. I think, you know, dating someone in Megan's position, you know, it's like, well, she's going to talk to like cooler, bigger, stronger, like right. guys, like all day, like probably be hit on by him, meet a ton of probably celebrities in the process. And, you know, that just comes with it. But that all just comes from anything, whether it's, you know, different guys, different girls, or security is just, you know, trusting the significant other regardless. So it's all fun. And, you know, it's all people that we just like and enjoy. I feel like we both crush on people that like, we like as humans, not like, oh my God, they're just so hot. So she knows like it's all from, we all know it's like, you know, from a good place. And like I said, like if she's crushing on John Leguizamo and he's 50, I'm like, I can look like that when I'm 50, like no problem.
Right. Did you ever see her doing an interview though? And the way the guy is communicating, you get annoyed. You're like, yeah, he's kind of flirting with her. That's annoying me. I know this guy, you know, as I'm married, like, have you ever seen a guy kind of trying to be flirtatious and get irritated?
Well, you know, at the beginning, you know what? I get more irritated. Like, look, she's going to be hit on online all day, whether it's from people I know or not, like this and that, you know? And I've seen her like get flirted with before, and I don't think it's bad. Sure. Not really from guys that know me, obviously. So I kind of take it as a compliment. Is like, someone tells me my wife's hot in a, you know, we're talking about in a respectful way.
Right.
And like, it is very, you know, complimentary to me. But I get more mad if someone's rude to her or kind of, you know, disregards her or like doesn't respect her or her intelligence right. or her questions or is standoffish with them. That's the kind of stuff that annoys me. You know what I mean? And I think that's a lot more likely in our sport is like, oh, this is just a girl. I'm just going to give her these one word answers or she doesn't know or like that's, you know what I mean? So yeah. There's a difference between being, you know, if you think she's a pretty girl's interview and you like be happy, you know, be nice, but don't be rude to a girl because you assume you know something about her. So that's actually more irritating than anything.
And Joe, you've been off since July. You're fighting Askar Askarov on the 6th. And how are you feeling? There's a couple losses to Figueiredo, but you know, you look great before then too. I mean, so it's like, you know, I think you'd work your way up to another title shot. You think that's your last title shot?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I think it is, you know, in my head, at least it is. And it's a different kind of acceptance. It's a tough acceptance at first, but afterwards it's like a little bit freeing too, because that has been such a ghost, you know, that I've been chasing like for so long. And it's always the question. It's always the next thing. And when is it going to be? And like, it didn't happen and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And the acceptance of kind of letting that go is like I said, it's hard and it's devastating in a way, but it's also kind of like, well, you know what? I got to get back to, yeah, my goal was always to be the champion, but I got to get back to that, just like loving it and enjoying it also. And not just like I'm doing it just for this sole reason of the credit of being the, and everything that comes along with it. So, right. Yeah, I mean, I think that was my last title shot. And that's kind of what I'm taking in, but I feel good. You know, my first, the last two losses were title shots. They're two, you know, a great dominant champion, you know, is like three of the four guys I've lost. I've only lost to four guys in my career. Three of them are world champions. And the other probably shouldn't have happened as far as like a split decision goes. But I look at that and I look at, you know, it's like, well, I'm there competing at the best. And the only reason I'm taking this fight and why it took me so long to take a fight is I still wanted to fight the best. Like, it might not be for a title, but I didn't want to fight a number 10 guy coming off Contenders or was on the Ultimate Fighter. Like, I still want to fight the best. That's the only reason I'm doing this. So Askar was the right opponent with the right ranking, the right time to take the time off that I needed to kind of fall in love and start having fun with the sport again. And so, yeah, I feel ready with all those things considered, just having fun and being acceptance and just having kind of just free reign to go in there and just love it. Love it again without the pressures.
Interesting. You said to fall in love with the sport again. What was there a moment like after maybe the second fight where you were like, I'm not sure what I want to do. Or did you have like a bit of a time where you were kind of struggling mentally, or what was it that took you to get you back to that?
Well, it always, you know, I've been fighting for 15 years and the ups and downs wear on you the day in, day out. I mean, it's little things that like, you don't think of like, oh, I got to wake up and take all these pills every morning and do this and do like, just like little things. And it wears on you. Do the same thing day in and day out. Like you could be eating steak every damn day. You're going to get tired of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like you could be eating caviar every day and you're going to be like, I don't want this today. You know what I mean? You're going to at some point want a freaking Mickey D's or something.
Yeah, of course.
So that's kind of just it, you know? And then with the down, it's a little easier for it to wear on you. And, you know, you put all this work into it and this thing breaks your freaking heart, right. You know, seven ways from Sunday. And you're just like, damn it. I did all that like to feel this. But then you think like, you know what? Like I have the chance to do this. I have the chance to chase greatness. And at the end of the day, you know, you knew the sacrifice, you knew the consequences. That could have happened while chasing the obvious, chasing what else could have been like the achievements you could have been. But you know, I look at it and like, you know what, I had the opportunity to do this and a lot of people don't. So, just took me falling in love with that process again and just enjoying like, hey, I can do this. Not like I have to, and I have to win the title and I should do this, I should do that. It's just like, you know what, every day having a chance to compete and a choice to live my dream and do what I do is a lot than a lot of people have, especially during this year, you know, in general, like people don't get to choose where the hell they're born, and just being born in America or being born here give you significantly different lives. You know, people during this COVID, you know, you get diagnosed with this, you might not have a choice, you know, people losing their business. And I'm just like, I had every chance to make 2020 the best year of my life. You know, I could have been a world champion. It could have been my crowning year, but you know, it wasn't. And you know what? I had the opportunity to do that at least. So just keep taking the opportunities and trying to make them my best.
Well, look, Ben, it's always good talking to you and we love watching you fight. I'm happy you're fighting again. I'm happy you're on this card. So good luck on Saturday and good luck. I don't know why I said good luck. All of a sudden I'm from Europe, but good luck on Saturday. And we'll talk to you on the other side. However,
you guys are the best, man.
Where do we watch that podcast again? What's the name of the podcast?
The name is At Home with Ben Alivi, but you can just anywhere you do podcasts, like the Spotify, iTunes, link, like the Linktree, you can look at all of them. Then we're adding like YouTube video probably this week too. So it's everywhere. Like it's at the link in mine and Megan's bios, that kind of stuff. So like I said, it's just a fun, lighthearted thing. We're not talking about conspiracies or aliens or anything. Just, you know, what the hell people like to talk about and what people like, you know, we all like eating. We all like watching freaking movies, you know, we all like fights. So we just talk about stuff like that.
Just your life together. Yeah.
We're big fans of both you and Megan. So I'm going to start listening to it.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys. And always good to talk to you before the fight gets started. Let's do it.
Have a great fight. Right, we'll talk to you soon, Joe.
Appreciate you guys. See ya.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Jan, Matt said you were taking an ice bath. How long do you take an ice bath for?
It was in a lake or some shit.
Oh.
I started doing it 7 years ago, something like this.
And how long can you last in one of those? I literally can't get in for more than 3 seconds before I leap back out.
Everything is in your head, you know. I go to the water, you know, not more than 15 minutes, not less than 5 minutes, you know. 10 minutes for me is the best.
Okay, and you can handle
and
the cold.
I recommend to do this for everybody, you know, because it's really help. It's really good for your body, for your mind. When I start doing this, I don't catch any flu, you know, never when I start doing this.
How cold is the water, though? It's freezing?
Yeah, it's close to zero, you know, really close to zero.
Nah, I tried it. I couldn't do it. I did try cryotherapy. I'm sure you've done cryotherapy before.
But it's completely different, you know, feeling, you know. I prefer ice bathing. I love ice bathing. You know, I don't know, but I feel pleasure. I do this 7 years, but every time when I have to go there, I need to make a small fight against me, you know, in my head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard to get in.
Jan, how does it feel like your first title defense is versus another champion in a different weight class, coming up from a lighter weight class, coming up to fight you? Does that feel a little disrespectful saying this smaller guy thinks he could come up and take my belt, or no?
I give him respect, you know. I will not give it him my belt.
He's not giving it to him, Jimmy. He's not handing that shit over.
Yeah, it's amazing that I can fight against, you know, someone of the best in the world, you know. I'm 38 all year, so I don't have time, you know, to easy fights and stuff like this. I want only best fighters in the world. He is one of them. I'm happy. I can fight against him, but we'll send him back to his division.
Send him back to his division. Okay. That's good.
So you're in, I think that you're, and I've said this before, I think you're an underrated fighter. I mean, everybody knows you're the champion, but I think this is going to be a very difficult fight for Izzy. And I love Israel, but, you know, I think that you're a very dangerous fight for him. You know, and I don't know. I just think that people underrate you a little bit. And I think that's a terrible mistake.
But, you know, maybe this is a mistake, but maybe it's good, you know, because they don't treat me serious. So in the fight, when they, you know, when they are in the octagon with me, everything is changed, you know. They start to respect me, but it's too late.
Yeah, I know it was changed with Dominic Reyes, his nose.
Yeah.
It was on the side of his face.
Over here.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, that way.
Okay, I don't remember, but something like this.
and that Luke Rockhold, I was so impressed with the Luke Rockhold fight. Because Luke Rockhold was coming out throwing, like he looked sharp, throwing those high kicks and then really trying to get you to the floor. And talk about, people should talk about your grappling, man. Because he wasn't, I mean, he was really in deep on you a few times. And you were just hiking up those underhooks, overhooks, and you were just getting out. And that stoppage with him was as brutal as, besides the nose being on the other side of his face with Dominic, that stoppage with Luke Rockhold. Woo! One separation for an instant, and I believe it was a left hook. Maybe I was wrong.
Left.
Oh my goodness! How does your power Were you always just blessed with power, or is that years and years on the heavy bag?
You know, I've got the power, but also I've got a lot of technique, you know. I'm jiu-jitsu black belt, so I know how to use jiu-jitsu. I know how to wrestle, you know. But people think that I've got only power. I've got power, but support with good technique. That's why I'm the champion right now, you know. And also, I think that my head, my mental game is also really strong, you know.
100%. Is it a little frustrating that John Jones left the division? Or did you kind of want to get your hands on him, or whatever?
Yeah, but I stopped thinking about him, you know. Yes. I catch you later. I told you, I talk about this many times. Right now, I focus about my division, about Israel Adesanya. Now he is, you know, heavyweight guy's problem, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. In future, after, I don't know, maybe two or three years more in 205, and then I will go to heavyweight also. And maybe I will catch him there. No problem.
And because you're knocking everybody out, not a lot of people talk about your grappling. And I was just watching some of your best of. And man, I like the way you strangled, I forgot his name, up against the cage. Ah, you didn't even get your hooks in.
Clark or Nikita Krylov. David Clark, in stand-up.
Yes, standing up.
Devin Clark.
Oh, that's right. It was Devin Clark. And Devin Clark's a good grappler. That's his game. That must have felt for that. And that looked like there's smooth rear naked chokes. It looked like you were going to snap his head off. Jimmy, it was brutal.
Yeah.
And then I saw you on the floor working your jiu-jitsu, looking for a head and arm choke and just smothering this dude. You're very well-rounded, but I think it gets forgotten about the grappling because of your highlights with your knockouts. That's a compliment either way.
Maybe because, you know, I always get that. This is my style of jiu-jitsu. This is not Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's Jan Bochowicz jiu-jitsu. Different style, you know.
Oh, it's not Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's Polish jiu-jitsu.
Polish jiu-jitsu. Even, I don't think so. It's Polish jiu-jitsu. It's Jan Bochowicz jiu-jitsu, you know.
Yes. And you're a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, correct?
Yes, black belt.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, MMA is not jiu-jitsu, you know. It's a completely different fight. You need to use different, you know, moves, different skills. You don't fight in G, you know, in the cage, you know.
Yes.
So, but I am black belt jiu-jitsu, but I know how to use this jiu-jitsu in MMA, you know. So it's also a little bit, it's a different sport, you know.
Man.
Because you've got black belt jiu-jitsu who cannot use jiu-jitsu in MMA. You know, but I know how to use jiu-jitsu in MMA.
Has your life changed a lot since winning the belt? Like, how much have things changed for you since you became the champion?
I've got, in my head, I'm still the same person, you know, but I have got a lot more things to do, you know, in the media, TV shows, meetings, stuff like this. So now is much, much more to do. But I don't like to be boring, you know. So yeah, life is good right now. Like, I like to be the champion, you know.
Yes. Much better. Hey, you deserve it, man.
Yeah, you do.
Working shit, you know.
Thank you.
And you like the extra stuff. Like, is it a hassle, or are you kind of like, this is what it was like? Do you like the extra, even though the extra stuff on media day and all that shit, you don't mind it?
You know, after, 1 month, when I go only with one TV show to another and one interview to the another, I was a little bit tired, you know?
Yeah.
But right now it's okay. It's not enough. It's enough, not too much, not too low, you know, it's okay for me right now. So I used to that. I think so.
Hey, Jan, let me ask you something unrelated to MMA. What do you like to do as like a hobby, not training wise? Could be anything.
I like bicycles.
Bicycle?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's like an active rest though. You do that on your day off, you just go riding.
You like do the day off. I do not. That's why I'm gamer, you know, PC gamer or PlayStation.
You play the video games?
Yeah, all the time.
What do you play? I should have started with this.
Right now, when I'm in Vegas, I play Rusto, something like this. It's something like GTA, but in middleweight. Not middleweight, but middle age. Something like this.
Is it really? And that's a
yeah,
PC not. Game?
Yeah. So now also I play Cyberpunk, Witcher, you know,
yeah,
stuff like this.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm waiting for the Resident Evil 8, but they don't want to put Polish language over there.
Come on. They got to be tough for the Polish people with that, Jimmy.
No respect for us.
So do you bring it with you on the road? You bring it with you when you travel?
Yeah, I've got my laptop with me, you know. Laptop and a Nintendo Switch.
Ah! It's good. Hey, listen, it's good to pass time. You're cutting weight. You're quarantined. You know what I mean? You got
to
do something.
So I've got, you know, things to do. I don't think only I'll be, I don't watch and do watch to the stars, to the walls, you know. So I've got something to do. Enjoy the, you know, virtual life.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good to keep the balance like that.
Yeah. Know? Balance is really important in life, with every part of life.
Yeah. Well, this fight this weekend, people have been waiting a long time for this. An incredible matchup between you and Israel Adesanya. You know, we really like you a lot, Jan. And before we let you go, I just got to say, good luck this Saturday. I mean, again, it's a tough fight for both of you guys. I think it's a very interesting matchup. I mean, you know how good he is and what a great striker he is. And we all know how what a great striker you are. So this would be a very interesting fight, man. Good luck with it.
100%.
You appreciate it. I will try and make my best, and I hope so people will remember this fight for a long time.
Yeah, they will. And I know Israel wants to win, and I know you want to send him back to middleweight. So we'll see what happens on Saturday night.
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
I can't. We're watching for sure.
Yes. Good luck, buddy. It's good talking to you as always.
Yeah, Jan.
Thank you.
Jimmy.
You're a nice guy, too.
Gonna be something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be, because I'll tell you right now, when I look at him, I'm looking at a guy full of confidence, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just looks like, and he's a total beast. And Israel, that guy's not lacking any confidence.
Incredible.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be, something's happening. Something violent's happening.
You know, it's funny. Like, I never know. Like, I mean, I know Adesanya a little better. So I like, you know, I've talked to him more. But just, I think people are sleeping on Jan Blachowicz. I really do, man. I think people are sleeping on Jan. I'm not saying that he's going to beat Israel. I don't know. But I think that people are undervaluing how good he is.
I mean, I want to see what Israel could, what he's got to land on him to hurt him. Like, you know what I mean? He's going to have to really have some pinpoint accuracy there, but he's that guy to do it. So
he is. And can he stay away long enough to prevent Jan from getting a hold of him? He said he's not putting on a lot of weight for this fight, which is interesting. I mean, I don't see how he cannot be, but he said he's not putting on a tremendous amount of weight. So maybe he walks around heavy. I don't know.
Did you see the, like the prelims main event with Thiago Moises versus Alexander Hernandez, the Great?
I did. Yeah. It was 30-27, 30-27, 29-28.
What did you think of the fight? What did you think of you think that decision was just?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Why did you think now, are you surprised that there was only one 29-28? What did you think it should have been?
I'm going to watch it again. I thought Alexander won the fight, but maybe I'm off. I have to watch it again. I don't want to just say that and disrespect anybody. I'm going to watch that again.
Well, there's two 30-27s. Is that what you were surprised at too? Like that there's two 30-27. It's always weird when you think a guy wins and the two judges saw it 30-27. Totally that's the odd part.
That is very odd for me. Alexis Davis showed her experience in defeating Sabina Mazo on the undercard too.
Yep.
And that was just, you know, that's where experience really comes through. You know, we talked about Alex Caceres. Very good. We talked about Pedro Munhoz and Jimmy
Rivera.
You know, we had Montana De La Rosa on.
That's right. Majority. Very interesting.
And that was some fight. I can accept the draw with that.
Sure. Me too.
She's a tough one, Montana. Both of them. Mara also. Biono Silva. I mean, tough fight. I was okay with the decision.
Me too. I never mind a 29-28, 29-28 majority draw. Like I never mind that because, it was a really close fight.
And Magomed Akilov is a stud, man. He's a fucking stud.
Yes,
I always enjoy watching him fight. And that was definitely a just decision. And Magomed's a beast. I enjoy watching him, you know? I like his style.
It was a good fight, though. It was a close fight. It wasn't a beating by any stretch. I mean, it was definitely a 29-28 fight.
Nikita was in there. He was in that fight. But Magomed was not going to be denied, man. You know? And then we obviously talked about the main. But, hey, those guys will come back.
Let me ask you this, Matt.
Yeah, Jimmy, what is it?
When I see a guy, again, Rosenstrike, and he's a dangerous fighter. But this is five rounds in a row that he had a tough time with. You look at the Overeem fight, it was 4 out of 5 rounds. And like the last, again, it only takes one punch and all that matters is you win. But that was a tough 5 rounds for him. You look at the Ngannou fight, and yes, he did beat JDS. But there's something that's, I'm surprised he didn't show a little more urgency. And I know he's being careful. But maybe as a fighter, whenever I see guys just doing this thing where they're like doing a lot of measuring with that lead, it's almost like they're trying to get themselves moving because it's not like really measuring. They're not even throwing out far enough to measure the punch. I really don't know what that is. How would you read that as a fighter?
When somebody's out of range doing
something. No. When a guy is just kind of like throwing those little short, like pumping, but not necessarily throwing anything, like not even
doing it out of range, kind of like
yeah, just like that whole,
like how Macy Barber was doing that a little bit, like out of range in her last fight. And then I mean, sometimes you're just giving them something to look at, and then you know, I mean, it depends on like really the circumstance. You know, they're doing it as a, sometimes they could be pouring out with that jab as a measuring, you know, right, a measuring stick, see how close they are. And next thing you know, what they do like a half jab, and then they do a full extended jab and it hurts you, you know. So there's different, there's different thoughts on that. But I'll tell you, this card this weekend is fucking packed.
Amazing. Amazing card. I mean, when Dominic Cruz is on the prelims, I mean, this is just a great card. And I'm Deco Santos, Alexander Rakic, sorry, man, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Rakic against Santos, I'm really looking forward to as much as any of the other fights.
Shit, Jimmy. Listen, there's nothing else to say than we're excited and we're going to talk in a few days. What a couple of days. What do you want to plug, my friend?
Jim and Sam on Sirius, and Matt is a big Chip fan. You can go to Chip Chipperson on YouTube and get the new one. You got to come on the show. Chip's been asking for you. We'd love to have you.
I'll jump on that show with you and Sam Roberts anytime. Listen to me, and I'm happy that Chip is taking off, because anything that helps you makes me happy.
Doesn't help me. Chip hates me.
Who hates you?
Chip hates me.
You kind of hate yourself then. But listen, Timmy, I love you. That's all I know.
I love you too.
And I appreciate you talking to me the other day. We had a nice little chat off air.
Sure.
I can say that.
Of course. You're one of my closest friends.
You're happy? You're my shrink now?
Well, you know, I need one too. So it's all right. We're both nuts.
Good. I don't got to pay nobody. Listen, I'm on Cameo, Matt Serra. Yep. I'm on Instagram, Matt Serra BJJ. If you're ever in Huntington, Long Island, bring a mask. Stop by Huntington BJJ and I'll show you.
That's right.
Okay. What do you want to plug? Anything else?
No, that's all, buddy. I will talk to you in a couple of days.
Jimmy, I'll talk to you then.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Jan Blachowicz. And thank you, Joseph Benavidez. Really great guests. Thank you guys very much.
And thank you, Unfiltered Army. We appreciate your support.
We do.
Should I left that out? Is that a little?
No, it's perfect.
It's already out there.
It's out there.
Bye, Jimmy.
Bye, Matt.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.